has just published new guidelines about dealing with the disease in hospitals and long-term healthcare facilities. Food columnist Andrew Coppolino has some insight into the new guidelines, and he joins us now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Craig.
So what is, first of all, for the purpose of our conversation, what is celiac disease?
It is a gut disease. That's not very nice. And as you know, 100 Canadians have been diagnosed with the disease. It's tricky to diagnose, too. There can be over 200 symptoms. I spoke with Doris Foster just this past week. She has celiac and is a registered dietitian and former director of nutrition services at hospitals. And she was the lead author in this new report that celiac, or this new guidelines that have been published. She's on the board of directors as well of Celiac Canada. It's a volunteer-based, federally registered charitable organization. I learned that it was founded in 1973 by two women from Kitchener. Quite interesting. And I asked Foster what it means to have celiac disease.
So celiac disease is an autoimmune disease. And for those patients who have it, if they ingest gluten, gluten damages the small intestine, and that means that you can't absorb the nutrients from your food properly, and it can create a whole host of symptoms, not all related to the gut. And if it goes on long enough, people can get very sick.
And if it goes on long enough, you can die from it as well. So it can be very, very serious. People might have discomfort after eating gluten, but celiac requires testing and diagnosis.
Right, there is a difference. Mm-hmm. What did you find out about how the disease is dealt with when it comes to healthcare facilities?
Well, glancing through the guide, the website is very robust. It's packed with useful information at Celiac Canada. One area they have focused on is the food service at hospitals and long-term care. And I thought that was important because of the heightened awareness we have around our long-term care facilities, given what happened during COVID. In January, they published the document with guidelines for helping celiac sufferers in those facilities and the people that take care of them. And I asked Foster about the importance of this information for the healthcare setting and its patients.
I would say that it's best practice and it's sort of tips to help busy healthcare managers and their staff sort of provide the best service, you know, given that they have limited resources. So we've tried to make suggestions that make it easier for them and that give them the knowledge to understand how to do this in the best way. It can be complicated because there are cross-contamination issues, and in a busy institutional kitchen where you have a lot going on, you need to know what you're doing. So we've tried to communicate that through this guide.
Now, interestingly, the guide is being circulated through Sysco Canada. That's part of the large global food service company, Sysco, that we all have seen trucks on the road. Mm-hmm. They work with healthcare institutions, among many others. So they're sort of working with that company to help get the information out to all the possibilities of healthcare services that work with food. I think that's an interesting and important partnership as well.
So talk a bit about the effect that this guide could have in those settings.
Well, it could stop some terrible things from happening. It's a large institutions that are difficult to run. We all know that. Linda Sill of Kitchener says she watched her elderly mother, a celiac sufferer, not get the specialized care that she needed at her long-term home.
It didn't work. No matter what we did, no one could guarantee that they could feed my mom a gluten-free diet without getting cross-contaminated.
So that cross-contamination is very serious, and this guide is designed to help prevent those from happening. Sill's mother has since died. And to be clear, Sill isn't blaming the system but or the long-term care homes involved, but she does want to see improvement, and the guide, I think, is one way that this will happen.
And how would she like to see that happen?
Well, Sill says the document, like the new recommendations from Celiac Canada, are a good step. You can imagine the levels of stress all around when it comes to something like this. Staff at times are under-resourced, they're underfunded, the care facility has, you know, constant demands made on them. Families are trying to advocate for elderly parents or children and struggling to feel confident that they've done so. And so in the case of celiac sufferers, a guide like this will help in a long stay at a hospital and the risks of ingesting gluten, even in very, very small amounts, which can be harmful. So the new guidelines from Celiac Canada are educational, help to lessen that stress and make sure that no more harm is done. Doris Foster of Celiac Canada told me this about her personal experience.
I know because I've managed food service and healthcare, so I know from being the person providing the service that it's challenging. I'm a celiac myself, so I understand what it's like to be the recipient of the service. And we do know that many celiacs feel they are, I wouldn't say not well cared for, but there can be a lot of errors made in any large institution, and we just want to make it better. We want to arm the people that are providing the service with the knowledge and skills to provide it in the best way possible.
Well, there are lots of examples of things being done correctly, of course, but that one exception, Craig, the one miscommunication that proves the rule, that can cause physical harm to somebody. So this guide, I hope, will be part of the solutions that when they're stressed, when there's no time, when there's under-resourced, there's some knowledge base that can be drawn on.
So if someone out there, Andrew, this morning thinks they have celiac or maybe they do have a family member with it, how can they learn more?
Well, check out Celiac Canada's website. It's very robust, lots of information. It's at celiac.ca. Foster says more people are being diagnosed, although there's still a long way to go through that, that the information and the understanding about celiac is improving.
It's just better understood, even in the public. Even if you don't have it, people have a better understanding of it, although there's still more work to do. And you know, one of the goals of Celiac Canada is also to try to make sure the medical community is well educated so they're not missing it.
Now, anyone can access the new guidelines for these best practices in healthcare settings, so that can be helpful even if you're not in a healthcare setting. Also, importantly, in Ontario, the blood test for celiac is now free. It didn't used to be. So that's a free test now, free blood test. And Foster tells me that Celiac Canada will also have a guide that they're going to work on for the restaurant industry next year.
Oh, nice.
Well.
Yeah. Well, that's important, too. Mm-hmm. So normally, Andrew, at this time, we do some shout-outs or shouts-out, maybe?
Shouts-out.
But you have some personal news to share with us.
I do. I have some personal news. After 10 wonderful years here at CBC, I'm stepping down from my role as the food columnist. Sadly, it's a personal decision that has to do with family and a little 20-month-old named Enzo. We're leaving the region to go be closer to him. Now, he doesn't live alone, of course.
His mom and dad, Joe,
and Sophie are there too. So we're going to be leaving the region to live in closer to them so that we can be grandparents. I'm happy to be a young grandparent, and we're looking forward to a new phase in our lives. And grandkids will be a part of it. And, you know, I will be here for a couple more months.
So we're going to,
It's just been so much fun and really enjoyable to be able to.
Well, we'll
here.
Get into all that modeling stuff later. So, but yeah, it's great news for you and your family, but probably not great news for us. But we appreciate it. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
That is our food columnist, Andrew Coppolino. You can find his online column. It'll be posted on our website tomorrow morning. 7:49, it's over to Josette Lafleur with a check on traffic. Good morning.
Good morning, Craig. Some typical buildup, usual spots, Victoria North as you make your way towards Shaunt Station, Wellington 32. In Cambridge, Water Street as you make your way up towards Dundas Street North. Sticking in Cambridge,